Free Seattle.
Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, welcome to the show today, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm guessing that many of you were watching the fires in San Diego last week and wondering what the heck is going on with our planet. Now, I realize the fires were caused by man-made issues, some unfortunately by arson, but the flames were fueled by drier than usual conditions and fanned by hot 100-mile-per-hour Santa Ana winds. So we have to ask the question, was the magnitude of the fires another sign of global warming, or is the theory of global warming political junk, as we've also heard? Well, I know what I think, and you probably have your own strong opinions too, as does my guest today. David Steinman is an acclaimed environmental health and consumer advocate, an award-winning journalist. He's not afraid of controversy. In fact, the food industry labeled him a food terrorist when he jumped onto the national scene with his groundbreaking book, Diet for a Poisoned Planet. He's known as a reporter who tells truths, difficult truths. But most importantly, David Steinman is a catalyst for real action. He's the publisher and founder of Freedom Press, which publishes Healthy Living, one of the nation's leading health magazines. And David's latest book, Safe Trip to Eden, is based on his road trip across America in search of the truth about the state of our environment. David Steinman, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm very good, and I'm so pleased to have you here. This book is absolutely fantastic. You've done some incredible research here and is just packed full of really good information. And I wanted to start the show by saying that in the beginning of the book, you say something that I think many, many people can relate to, myself included. And that is that there's been a lot of hysteria around environmental issues. And at that point, you were tired of it. You wanted just to ignore what was being said and leave it to your God and basically mind your own business, get on with your own life. What changed your mind? Was it when you were writing for LA Weekly and you wrote about the Santa Monica Bay?
You know, what changed my mind is 9/11. Mm. Because what happened right afterward is that environmental issues dropped off the map. And in fact, environmentalists were labeled by the right wing and conservatives as anti-American. And what I realized is that environmentalists had been preaching to the choir and that they were not well-versed enough in real-world situations and challenges that businesses face, that America faces, to communicate effectively with the great majority of people who are out there and probably very receptive to environmental issues if they can be framed a bit differently than being politicized and taken over by one political group, the liberal left. And I want to bring a bigger tent because the issues are so profound and so important. I want more people to be under that tent. And in order to do that, you have to strip away the politics as much as possible and get right down to the truth and what this country needs and what the globe needs now. And the only way we're going to be successful in the environmental movement and that we are being successful is by involving big business, by involving both parties, and by creating that kind of canopy that allows all of us to coexist and do what's right for this country.
Mm. And I think your comments about most people can't relate to it because it's not put into context of their day-to-day life are right on there, because I was watching a program by Bill Moyers last week. I don't know if it was his Now program or his journal, but he's one of my favorite journalists. And there was a segment on there where they took a group of evangelicals to Alaska to learn about the environment. And they'd taken evangelicals because this is what this group was saying. I am not trying to broad generalize, but that particular group of evangelicals was saying that most evangelicals don't listen to scientists, they don't trust them because of the theory of evolution, which removes God from the theory of creation. So regardless of how many scientists are telling us, hey, you need to pay attention, they tend to disregard scientists and their theories at large. And one of them on the trip was saying he wanted to go on this trip to Alaska because he wanted to see how it related to his day-to-day life, and it did change his mind.
Oh, that's so profound, and that's such a good point. Interestingly, the evangelical are one of the fastest-growing groups of environmentalists now today in America.
Interesting.
And it's not to say that all are. Obviously, we have a ways to go. But it is one of the fastest-growing groups. And one of the things I found in writing Safe Trip to Eden is that by really embracing a concept where green is like predominates in my life and tends to dictate what I do and how I do it, I felt that my relationship to God was so much improved. And the way that I try to describe it in the book is that, well, if your father gave you the keys to the family car and said you could go out and drive it, you can be sure he'd expect you to bring it back in as good a condition as when he gave it to you.
Right.
And in the same way, the Lord has given us planet Earth. And I'm sure the Lord expects us to bring it back in as good a condition as it was given to us. And I think that kind of thinking has affected a lot of the evangelicals and ministers because, you know, you see Rick Warren today has been a very big advocate of taking steps in your personal life to combat global warming. And also, you know, many of us believe in God and are very in tune to that, but we also live in a real world of business, profits, doing good through our business. And if you start to think green like I began to in the book, it was a real evolution, then you also start to see how profound your personal habits are, not just for the environment, but for the people around you and for our future and for your own health right now. Because, many of the chemicals involved in global warming are petrochemicals, which are also predominantly many of the chemicals that cause health effects, for example, in cosmetics and household cleaning products and in chemical pesticides. These are all derived from petrochemicals. And in fact, about 5% of every barrel of oil is devoted to feedstocks like cosmetics, like pesticides. So when we do involve our personal habits in changing the world, we not only do things which are good for reducing global warming, but we also reduce our dependency on foreign oil. And that's good for America.
Yeah, you've approached this book, I should let our listeners know, you've approached this book from the point of view of a businessman, of a father, of a husband, and also as you call yourself a green patriot wannabe. So green patriotism runs throughout the book, and you're really trying to get us to look at how it affects us on a day-to-day basis. And you've already impacted me, David, because as I was slathering on my body lotion this morning after my shower, as I do every single day and have done for years and years, I thought, oh, I should read the ingredients on here and what was in there, but the petrochemicals that you're talking about, which are cancer-causing, right?
Well,
be cancer-causing.
You know, so many of the cosmetic products that people buy are so dependent on petroleum feedstocks. And it's amazing because, you know, you think of your skin as, well, it's natural. It's God's creation. And here we are slathering on these highly refined petroleum byproducts on our skin. And you know, people aren't thinking. And as a result, you know, our dependency on foreign oil has skyrocketed. And there are simple things that we can do in our lives, you know, just by reading the label and saying, okay, you know, I'm not going to buy this product because it contains, say, sodium lauryl sulfate, which is a petrochemical-based ingredient, and instead buying one that contains, you know, a plant-oriented, a non-petrochemical ingredient for your cosmetic product. These things really do have a profound effect, not only on your own health, because you reduce your risk for cancer or allergies, but also, you know, you can feel like you're really taking part in something to make this country great. And, you know, the thing was, after 9/11, the president said we should all go out and shop and travel. Do you remember when he made that speech?
I do.
And it was so annoying to me at the time, because mindless shopping and traveling is part of the reason why we're in this mess. And we really need consumers. I mean, people who think of themselves as smart and intelligent to really take their knowledge and apply it to their daily lives, because they're going to enjoy a much more fulfilling relationship to God, to their country, to their family. They're going to know that they really are trying to make what they believe. And this is what I was trying to do. That's why I call myself an environmental wannabe. What you believe, you want to make it real. You know, your words are like a vision, and you want to make those words come true. And we all fall so far short, but there's so much more we can do to make it feel, to make us feel like we are doing good things for this country, that we are participating in winning the war on terror, mm-hmm. in reducing our dependency on foreign oil, and building a safe future.
One thing that really surprised me, David, in fact, it shocked me, actually, was that the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act requires no safety testing on any kind of cosmetics before they're released. They leave it up to the industry itself, to drive testing and determine if it's safe for our use. And that really concerns me, when we all know how many millions and billions of dollars Americans spend on cosmetics every year.
Well, it's really a situation that calls for more government oversight. Right now, you're absolutely right that no pre-market safety testing is required. And in February, I held a press conference in Washington, D.C., to announce my findings, which were from Safe Trip to Eden, that every single mainstream bubble bath and shampoo product for our kids that I tested was contaminated with a petroleum-based carcinogen called 1,4-dioxane. And here you are with the most vulnerable kids, with mm-hmm. the most vulnerable people in our society, our kids, bathing them in products all containing cancer-causing chemicals that are not disclosed on the label, and that the industry is getting away with this is completely because of what you mentioned, that there is no pre-market safety testing. The regulations governing cosmetics are about, I don't know, 3 pages in the whole Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which is a very long piece of work. The industry loves it, but the fact is that our most vulnerable members of society are being exposed to carcinogens. It's no wonder that childhood cancer rates over the last 50 years have escalated. They've gone up by more than 20%. And it's not just because of better diagnosis. It's because kids are being exposed to more and more chemicals. And as this really brought it home as a parent, you know, what am I doing? My kids want to buy Scooby-Doo bubble bath,
sure,
or Bratz.
Sure.
And here I am buying things that are putting more tiny poisons into their already, you know, into their tiny bodies.
Mm. Well, I remember years ago buying bubble bath for one of my godchildren, and she kept, as a little child, kept getting urinary tract infections, and it was the bubble bath that was causing that. So it is scary that you think you buy something you think they're going to enjoy and have fun with, and then this is the outcome. I also read somewhere that the chemicals are causing reduced levels of IQ across the nation.
Well, that's another consequence of this petrochemical binge we've been on. You know, what researchers have found is that women who eat seafood that is contaminated either with polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, which are petrochemicals, or mercury, give birth to children who are far lower in birth weight, in head circumference, in gestation period, in overall body size, and in IQ. And these deficiencies were among middle-class children, particularly born to women, particularly in the Great Lakes region, who continued to show these deficiencies in IQ, even as they became infants, toddlers, and young children. And these will unfortunately persist throughout their lives. And, you know, you think about the decision that this country's populace has to make for our future, like How good is the information, or how real is the threat, you know, when the president is speaking? And if we don't have a population that's able to be smart and intelligent and read and be discriminating and critical and just not be, you know, gung-ho, let's go to war, let's send all the pretty boys and girls off in their uniforms and conquer another nation, which is a, you know, response that we've gone through, you know, if we don't have the intelligence to figure out that we need to stop being a raiding nation when it comes to our oil needs in the next several decades, we're going to be fighting that oil war that I'm talking about that I want to prevent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is because we've been dumbing down our too many kids. Not every kid. We have tons of wonderfully smart kids. But, you know, it's like a clock. It doesn't take a whole lot of dust to gum up the works.
That's right. And I know as a writer, I'm often told to write, you know, aim sixth grade level, no higher, which is really scary when I'm writing for adults. But, but you know, we don't want to get too depressed here. And I want to address this with you because, you know, a few years ago, I did think about doing environmental journalism. But I honestly, when I was doing all the research and taking marine biology classes and environmental science classes, I'd go home and I'd feel depressed because it's like, it seems so huge. What can I do about it? And we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to address that subject with you and how you approach that and talk about some of the things that we can do, David, to make a difference, because you have a lot of really good suggestions. So stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest today is David Steinman. He's the author of Safe Trip to Eden, 10 Steps to Save Planet Earth from the Global Warming Meltdown. Stay with us.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
On the next Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, the author of The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Competent Kids. You've seen her on Oprah, 48 Hours, and The Today Show. Now, hear Vicky St. Clair talk to Dr. Jen Berman. That's next week, starting at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150. Monday, November 5th, Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
The Art of Constructive Living is alive and well on The Gary Mance Show, Tuesdays at noon. It's your personal power lunch with a variety of experts serving up fresh ideas to take you from where you are in life to where you want to be. Sit down to a banquet for your brain, and I'll pick up the check. Join me every Tuesday at noon for The Gary Mance Show, right here on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Are your services receiving the attention you've earned and deserve? Is your business growing as quickly as you'd like it to? More importantly, is it as profitable as it could be? We know it's easy to get overlooked in the crowd. Let our marketing experts shine a spotlight on you and your business by delivering your strategic message to thousands of people in the Northwest region and thousands more via the internet. Learn how our expertise can help put your name out there and increase awareness of your business. Call Conversations Live today at 253-302-3286 or email info@conversationslive.net. That's 253-302-3286 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest today is David Steinman. He's an acclaimed consumer and health advocate, award-winning journalist and author. And his new book, Safe Trip to Eden, is the deeply personal story of his trip across America in search of the truth about the current state of our environment. And David, I want to, you took this road trip. Let's talk about the road trip a second. And because you did find some good information out there, you found some good things that are happening. But why did you decide to take a road trip? What were your intentions when you set out?
Oh, I think it's exactly how you summed it up, Vicky, that when you report on the environment, there will be a time in your life when it's very depressing because you see all the examples of the degradation, the loss of habitat, stupidity and uncaringness of human beings toward animals, towards nature, toward other human beings. And I wanted to discover heroes, people that were doing real things in America and around the world who were changing this whole paradigm. And I discovered them, you know. And as a result of meeting people and companies, and so many of them, in fact, were in Washington State, as a result of this, I came away thinking that, you know, none of us can predict the future. And, we don't know how we will meet this challenge and how it will end up. But all we have is now. And the people I met were doing good things now. And that was enough of a payoff. They were being even better than they could be. I mean, I'll just give you some examples from Washington State people that I wrote about in Safe Trip to Eden. There was the Barleans family based in Ferndale, for example. Now, David Barleen, the patriarch of the family, is a reef netting salmon fisherman, one of only about 11 licensed reef netters left in the state. And yet his small fishery is one of the most hoppingest fisheries probably in the United States today because people are buying this ecologically harvested wild salmon from the San Juan Islands, and they're paying a premium for it because people are changing our values. They are starting to value the process, how we get what we get, how we get where we are. That family, by the way, is now the largest purchaser. Well, omega-3 fatty acids are extremely important to our health, and they come from both flaxseed and from fish oils. And that family, the Barleans family, is the largest purchaser of certified organic flaxseed in North America today.
That's amazing.
Because they also market flaxseed-based organic oils, and that spreads a lot of organic technology. And there's another company called Flora that's based in Washington that is one of the largest suppliers today of organic herbs. And they have organic farm fields both in Washington State, in British Columbia, and in Chile, over 1,000 acres. And again, consumers are buying their products because they're putting a value on the right things, good things for fair trade, for people, for our environment. And as I traveled throughout the rest of the country, I came to places like Blair, Nebraska, where this engineer, Corey Buckles from Dow Chemical, had taken on the task with Dow and Cargill, the largest private company in America today, to create a plastic plant in the middle of the Corn Belt. But instead of using petrochemicals like they do down on the Gulf, they were using corn. And the pollution was almost non-existent. And what was so ironic is that it took the engineering expertise of a former Dow chemical engineer and the largest private agricultural company, not one that was necessarily known for being green, to produce this technology. But today, for example, when you go to music concerts or baseball games, in many of the stadiums, the containers you're using are really corn-tainers because you're drinking your beverage out of a container that's made from corn that will compost very easily, that doesn't spread the kind of petrochemical residues, that doesn't produce the same global greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, even when we're just enjoying a beverage at a sporting event or music event, we might be unconscious green patriots. It's very exciting to see what so many leaders are doing. And what's even more exciting is, in a sense, is how few of these people there are. For all the change that's occurring in America, you can walk into any supermarket today and the amount of organic foods you see in other people's shopping carts is really minimal. In fact, only about 3% of the population accounts for almost half of the organic sales in America today. Think if we can move that 3% up to 4% and 5%, and we are doing it. The profound changes that are occurring are being fueled by so few people, and yet so many more people are catching on. And the reason why is that all the great technologies, our whole economy is becoming green. And as a result, you know, whether people start out as being altruistic environmentalists, maybe they start out as just wanting to profit to join the natural products industry, or they have a better green idea. There's so many consumers out there willing to buy them. We're creating whole new industries, and that's why companies like General Electric and, you know, God forbid, even Walmart are looking at the green alternative and taking it very seriously, not just because it's altruistic, but because they think it's going to create more profits for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, they, Walmart in particular had a lot of damage repair to do on their reputation. So I was very surprised to see in your book what they're doing. And Target and Coca-Cola has just put solar panels in its roof down in California. I was really surprised to, I was heartened actually to read how much people are actually doing.
Well, but I still want to be able to go into a Starbucks, and when I get my a drip coffee, I want it to be organic.
Mm.
Well, so we have a long way. We have a ways to go, but there are many good things. And you know, these are things that are good for America. And what I wanted to do in Safe Trip to Eden is show people that, you know, it's environmentalism isn't just about environmentalism for the sake of environmentalism. Environmental policy determines fate. And, you know, there have been some great books like Collapse, like by Jared Diamond, that have shown how it's how societies respond to their environmental challenges that determines their long-term ability to prosper or disappear.
Right.
So this is about our fate, and it's just really interesting. The people, you know, I've made contact with some of the presidential candidates, like John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and Michael Bloomberg and James Woolsey, the former director of the CIA. All of these people are listening to these ideas now, and what we need, if we can get this vision, you know, from top to bottom in our country, it'll be good for the economy. It'll be good for the environment. It'll be good for reducing our dependency on foreign oil. I want a president who can say to OPEC, there's going to be a boycott, but you know what? It's going to be our boycott. We don't need your oil anymore.
Then
we start to shift the balance of power. Then we start to defund terrorist activity. You know, environmentalism is creeping into Islam now in a really major way. I've had great conversations with environmentalists in Iran, for example. And what I'm learning is that one of the great liberalizing, and in China, and one of the great liberalizing effects throughout the world is when people start to say to the government, you know, why can't I see the mountains outside of Tehran? Or why is my river in China so polluted with your mine shaving? And the government, you know, because of the internet age, they can't just, you know, go haul off these people and shoot them like they used to. These are real uprisings, and they create a liberalizing effect. And, you know, throughout the world, one of the ways that this effect is being generated is by non-governmental organizations like environmental groups that get themselves into these countries and that work at the grassroots with local populations to say, you know, why can't you harvest fish anymore from the Caspian Sea and have it safe to eat? And why don't you look at your leaders to change here? This is going on in some of the most repressive and totalitarian regimes today. And it's like a fifth column in these countries that we, our foreign policy should be taking advantage of. My gosh, you know, Greenpeace is one of the great forces for liberation today. And once we get this kind of vision that goes from the population even to Washington, which is the last place you're going to get it, and put it into action, you know, we can really start to build our future for America and make it a good future, a safe future, and a strong future for this country, economically, financially, and start to spread a vision throughout the globe. Because, as I said, environmentalism is creeping into everybody's lives. It's coming into all the major religions. And it's really having a profound effect on the way people see their lives and how they relate to each other.
Mm. And I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier about you talked with Edwards and Hillary Clinton. And it's all very well having these people listen, but we need to hold them accountable. And your whole philosophy is about we the people, you know, coming together and holding people accountable. I think sometimes in America, we forget that we really are paying these people's salaries.
Oh, my Lord. You know, right now, Washington is the last place in the world where we're getting as much leadership as we need. You know, we've had 8 years of Republican leadership that has been so slow to this vision. It's been a day late and a dollar short consistently. And even with the politicians that I'm speaking to, Clinton and Edwards, you know, they've really got to embrace this green patriot environmentalism in a major way. What's really interesting is the triangulation that could well occur, because in order for, well, we don't know for sure who the Republicans will put up, but suppose it's Giuliani who's leading in many of the polls right now. You know, whoever the Republicans put up, Giuliani or whomever, in order for that party to even come close to winning, they're going to need the independent voters, that small block of green-oriented, very savvy voters who are neither Republicans anymore nor Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who decide the election. And so many of these voters are looking at how are these characters from both parties going to approach environmental issues vis-a-vis our technology. You know, the environmental movement can save GM and Ford. In fact, GM could be the world leader again in auto production thanks to their new environmental strategies with their cars. But how are the candidates really going to embrace this? And that will probably decide the election. As I said, those 3% of the people who buy half the organic foods, who are also the big voters, how close are our elections these days? And there are many independents out there who are looking at the candidate. And if the Republican candidate were to embrace green patriot environmentalism the way I'm talking about it, which is it's good for America, it's a patriotic thing to be an environmentalist, that will improve their chances greatly of perhaps winning in 2008. So, and conversely, if the Republicans up the ante, you know the Democrat candidate is going to have to up the ante from there.
Mm.
So, you know, the environment could be a big winner in 2008, but we have to continue to pressure our congressional leaders not to screw up legislation. You know, right now, with fleet fuel standards for the automakers, the main man holding up really getting superb fuel standards is John Dingell, a Democrat from Detroit, Michigan, who's doing the bidding of the auto industry. Well, you know, the energy bill now before the Congress would bring our mileage standards by around 2020 up to about 32 miles per gallon. But in Europe, they're already getting average standards for some fleets of 45.
Yeah, they have done for years. Europe's always been way, way, way ahead of us.
So how are our car makers going to survive in a world where they can't compete on the thing that's so important now to consumers,
mm-hmm.
which is MPG? Our Congress ought to be applying both a stick and a carrot to the automakers to get them to, you know, to live up to this. This is sort of like the Manhattan Project for our generation. How do we make ourselves free from foreign oil? How do we find alternatives?
Well, let's look at, you actually went to the Ford plant, didn't you?
I did, in Clayco, Missouri.
Tell us what happened there.
Well, what you realize is that the future of the car industry is in better MPG. And the workers at that plant, you know, right after I went there, all the plant closings were announced by both Ford and GM. But those workers have good jobs. Really good paying jobs with good benefits. And these are the kind of jobs we want Americans to have, good technology jobs. And the reason why they do is because they were building the hybrid Mariner there and the Escape. And that's the future for Ford. And, you know, and as I learned, you know, Ford is, take GM now. GM is creating a car called the Volt, which they say can get 150 miles per gallon. It involves both a battery, lithium-ion battery, and fuel, but the battery can be used for 40 miles before it needs recharging. Well, guess what? Most of our tasks on a daily basis are less than 40 miles,
mm-hmm.
which means you could drive that car for days, if not weeks, without ever needing to refuel. And when you do go past that 40 miles, the engine helps to recharge the battery. And even if you plug it in, you know, the greenhouse cost of supplying energy to the lithium ion batteries is less than it costs to refuel with petrol every time. So, you know, we do have the possibility of seeing GM becoming number one again. And their battery, by the way, gets four times the mileage that Toyota's does right now. In other words, mm-hmm. American technology is actually winning out globally. Now, you know, I want everyone to win, but it's nice to see American industries, especially our car industry, win once in a while, too.
Mm. I know Eric, our board engineer and technical producer here, has been driving a hybrid for years, and you're real happy with it, aren't you?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Have a Toyota, though?
I've got the Toyota Prius, yeah. You know, there just wasn't a comparable American-made hybrid for the last few years, so I've really enjoyed it. I've had both models of the original Prius and then the newer version of the Prius, and I've found them both to be great cars, yeah.
Mm, great. And I know Ford's coming out. Well, Ford has come out. I have an SUV Explorer, but my friend has a hybrid, and it's great to drive in. I wouldn't even know, other than it's a lot quieter than mine.
Yes. Another benefit, though, really.
Another benefit. I thought there was something wrong with the engine, and then I realized, oh, no, it's a hybrid. So there is good news there, isn't there, David?
I think it's very exciting, and it's very exciting for business and for all of us who want to be inspired, you know, who want to feel that we are making a difference. We are, and we're starting to see those results.
And that's what it's all about. Let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and my guest is David Steinman. Please stay with us.
Speed dating is fast-paced, flirty fun in a safe, no-pressure environment. Gig Harbor Speed Dates is the South Sound's best social opportunity for busy single people. Check us out at gigharborspeeddates.com. Make friends, business contacts, or maybe even a love connection. Go to gigharborspeeddates.com.
On the next Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, the author of The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Competent Kids. You've seen her on Oprah, 48 Hours, and The Today Show. Now, hear Vicky St. Clair talk to Dr. Jen Berman. That's next week, starting at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150. Monday, November 5th, Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Join nanny and parenting coach Meryl Woodard for a new parenting show, Another View, Fridays at 2, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW. This is your chance to get those parenting questions answered, as well as tell us what's working for you. She'll talk about alternative health products, too. So consider Another View, Fridays at 2, on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hi, this is Howard Bono. I'll be hosting a new show called The Money Thing with Howard Bono on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 3. The show's designed for what I call working America, those of us that are trying to live the American dream but find ourselves getting squeezed financially every day. On the show, we're going to explore the underlying reasons why we're feeling the pinch and some strategies and tricks to help you to understand how money works and how the wealthy handle theirs. My vision is to create 1,000 millionaires, so tune into The Money Thing with Howard Bono on Tuesday afternoons from 2 to 3 here on Alternative Talk 1150.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest today is David Steinman. He's an award-winning journalist, an acclaimed consumer advocate and health advocate. And he's the author of Safe Trip to Eden, the book we're looking at today. It's as well as being packed full of information, of resources, of statistics. It's also the deeply personal story of an environmentalist traveling across America in search of the truth about the current state of our environment. And David, before we jump into the next couple of questions I have for you, would you go ahead and give out your websites? Because the Green Patriot has some fantastic information on there for anybody who's interested in learning more about what they can do in their own homes on an everyday basis.
Sure. It would be great to have people visit www.greenpatriot.us, which is about Green Patriot environmentalism. They can also visit the www.freedompressonline.com to learn more about Doctor's Prescription for Healthy Living, one of the magazines Freedom Press publishes. And also this weekend, I'm scheduled to be at the Alive Expo, which is Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th, at the Seattle Center Exhibition Hall on Harrison Street in Seattle. And that's a great expo. There will be a lot of speakers there. You know, a lot. I've been to these before, and a lot of really interesting environmental information, and just open up a sea of networking and possibilities for anybody who just wants to enrich in their life that way.
Right, and you're actually speaking at 1 o'clock on Sunday, November 4th. So if you'd like to see David Steinman there, he's talking about living healthy in a toxic world, and you can see him at 1 o'clock on Sunday, November 4th. So, this trip, David, took you away from your family, and I can tell by reading your book that your family is very, very important to you, and probably one of the reasons that you care so much about the environment. How long did it take you away from your family? How long did it take you to research and write this book?
Well, I think writing the book actually took about a little over a year, and you know, researching it was sort of like, well, being a dad, and I was listening to Bill Maher the other night, and he said, you know, I don't know how any parent of a kid today can look that kid in the eye and not care about the environment. And, you know, being the father of a 13-year-old, or at that time 11-year-old, and two 4-year-old twins, you know, you're thinking, gee, in about six years, my son is going to be draft age. And if we don't get things together here in the United States, you know, we well could be fighting an oil war in 5 or 10 years. And, you know, my kid could be the one who's drafted or enlist, depending on what the situation is. Mm. And it makes you think, well, what can I do now for these kids so that we're not fighting a stupid war? And by stupid, I mean, why aren't we doing the things now to reduce our dependency on foreign oil, to make it so that the Middle East doesn't have, you know, one-third of the world's oil supplies? Why aren't we building the infrastructure for China and capitalizing markets with green technology that will reduce our dependency with more solar? And why aren't we doing this for India? Why don't we have this kind of foreign global policy that is blunting that increasing demand for oil? I mean, Vicky, we're speaking at a time when oil is, what, $92 a barrel?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think when you wrote your book, it was $60 a barrel,
oh,
and that was high then.
You know, so you know, there's a point where, you know, it's staring us, it's looking at us, and, you know, we've got to react to this in a really positive, well-thought-out way. And you know, I come back to being a father and to being a businessman, and, you know, I really looked at global warming carefully. I'm not a scientist. I was at the Academy of Sciences in Washington for 2 years. I represented the public. I've dealt with scientists most of my professional career. I've seen how science is made. I've also learned that, you know, science can be wrong. And as a businessman, you always have to look at what the worst case scenario is. So I looked at this and said, well, you know, what if the global warming advocates, you know, are wrong? What if they only get it partially right? What are the consequences then? You know, and this is the same kind of questioning we should have asked before we went into Iraq, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've looked at it, and I don't have a dog in this fight. I could have written any kind of book with any viewpoint. And what I found was that even if we miss it by a lot or a little, the changes we will effect will produce better markets for our company, better jobs in the United States, better jobs globally, reduce our kids' exposure to these IQ-reducing petrochemicals, these same petrochemicals that increase our risk for cancer. these reducing our global greenhouse emissions will just reduce overall pollution. They will reduce the amount of money that's going to fund terrorist groups, because terrorist activity is funded largely from oil money. And you look at all the benefits, even if we don't get it 100% right, and I found that even if we misgauge in some ways, we're still going to win. And I think that was one of the most important things that I looked at, is if I'm a human being, I'm fallible, but what if I make a mistake? And I think we still win for our kids. I still think it's the right thing to do. I have found that those sticks in the mud who claim that that what Governor Schwarzenegger or the other governors are doing with regard to global warming and impeding business, it's just wrong. Business is more anxious than government to get on the green environmental, green patriot wagon. They want to be there because it's profitable, and it's creating the new market. It's creating jobs in America. You know, there are so many good jobs, like we saw in Clayco, Missouri, in Blair, Nebraska, in Ferndale, Washington, that are being created by this movement. And why aren't we taking it further? Why don't we have gardens throughout this country that will ensure our domestic security? God forbid, what if there is an attack in the Northeast on the petrochemical complex across from lower Manhattan? There's 3 days' worth of oil there.
Mm.
Now, if you don't have oil, you don't have transportation. If you don't have transportation, you don't have food. Why don't we have more urban gardens, which would reduce global greenhouse gas emissions, which would be good for communities? This is the kind of thinking that I want to see systemically as a father. You know, forget anything else, just for my kids. This is what I want to see for your kids, for our community, because I think it's better for America. And so even if we get it a little wrong, or a lot wrong, in terms of global warming, America will win in the end. This is the way we are going to build our future.
Yeah, you say in the book it's all about raising our consciousness and our spirituality and bringing that in line with what we practice in the universe, basically. So,
well, you know, as I said, you know, I call myself an environmental wannabe. I'm trying real hard. I make a lot of mistakes, but I'm also every day trying to do good things. I'm really thinking about that. And I just feel that brings us closer to the real God, to what God really intended, which is to be good to our neighbors, to show respect to other people, to care for our children. And, you know, a lot of us talk about the environment. I think one thing that environmentalists need to be is a little more humble and say, you know, we're all hypocrites. We're all trying real hard, but we make tons of mistakes. You know, we're not all driving hybrids or biodiesel. But if we can do one good thing, like buying a petrochemical-free skin lotion, you know, we're doing something that really is important. It makes us part of this larger movement that is shaping the world, shaping our future, and making a better future for all of us.
Mm, I promise I'm reading. Mind you, I promise I'm going to read the labels before I buy any more cosmetics, but you do make a point in there that not all of those products are labeled.
Well, you know, this year, or rather in 2008, I expect that there will be congressional investigations into the cosmetic industry and why the heck they are getting away with not labeling their products for the most dangerous ingredients that so many of them contain. And yet, you know, like I said, there's always good news. You know, I found a company called Aubrey Organics that was, you know, it's really funny. My kids love Bratz, and my daughter loves Bratz, and my other kids love Scooby-Doo. And they really wanted those little icons, so I found a product. It was an Aubrey Organics kids bubble bath. And so once I found out how disgustingly contaminated the mainstream products were, you know, I could clean out the bottles and then put in the really safe Aubrey stuff into these bottles.
There you go.
And they didn't know the difference, and I felt
the bubble's
like, oh,
a bubble,
man,
right?
I really won on this one. I really pulled one over on my kids, man. This was a good one.
Yeah, and you've got lists of safe products, and I was pleased to see that I am at least using some of them. was unwittingly, but I was using some of the same products. But all of that is available from your website and in this book. And it was just really eye-opening. I don't think you can go on this kind of journey that you've been on, David, without learning a lot about yourself. What's the biggest thing you learned about yourself while you were researching this book and speaking with these heroes, as you call them, making a difference?
That we really need, all of us are pretty frail. And we need something to live by, and we do need a vision. You know, we personally need it, and our nation needs it. And you need to really believe in that vision. And, you know, it's not enough just to say, I believe in God, because I really think God intends for us to live out our lives in a way that's consistent with the very best of the human spirit. And what I learned is I can't be a complete person anymore without incorporating green and environmentalism. I can't be try to be a good American anymore without being a green patriot. The environment and these issues are just have to be so much a part of you now. In order for you to have that relationship with God, or in order to be a good person, you know, I went out to the San Joaquin Valley of California out near Bakersfield, and I met so many people, American citizens, who are farm workers. You know, not every farm worker, by the way, is an illegal, illegally entered from the United States or undocumented. You know, there are a lot of citizens who are farm workers. And I found that, you know, these were good people. They're in the book, you know, in Chapter 3, Put Good Food on Your Table. And Teresa de Anda, for example, just wonderful people who are fighting in their own local communities. And I found, well, you know, if I buy organic foods, Not only am I reducing global warming because I'm not buying foods with chemical pesticides made from petroleum, but these people deserve, you know, to be safe in their workplace too. And I have to buy organic foods because I know these people too well now. I know them. I met them throughout the country, and you know, I want to be good to people that I can't see, I may never meet. I want to be able to look someone in the eye and know that I really tried my hardest. I want to be able to tell my kids I really tried hard to do the right thing.
Well, I certainly appreciate you being with us. If our listeners heard nothing else today, what's the one thing that you want them to take away from today's show?
You know, I hope people will get Safe Trip to Eden, whether it's at their bookstore or from Amazon, and read it and really start to feel what it is to be a green patriot environmentalist, just what it is to bring green and God together into your life.
And I have to say, even if people don't believe in God, as I don't, but I still very much believe in nature and the power of nature.
Absolutely. If you don't believe in God, you still need green.
Right. Absolutely. I thank you so much. And let's have your websites one more time for people who didn't catch them.
It's greenpatriot.us, freedompressonline.com. And the book's available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and, you know, all the local bookstores and online. Amazon.
Thank you so much, David. And I wish you all the best in your work. You're doing some great work. And it certainly made me think differently. And I've seen Eric Ryder over here, our board engineer, nodding his head a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot to agree with there for sure.
Yeah. So thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, you guys.
And my guest, of course, was David Steinman. His book, Safe Trip to Eden, 10 Steps to Save Planet Earth from the Global Warming Meltdown. And don't forget, you can see David at the Alive Expo, 1 o'clock on Sunday, November 4th. He's talking about living healthy in a toxic world. And I wanted to leave you with a quote for today, which I think is appropriate. It's from it's a Native American quote, and I love Native American sayings. It's from Chief Seattle. He said, "When the earth is sick, the animals will begin to disappear. When that happens, the warriors of the rainbow will come to save them." And I think that's a lovely sentiment, but I think in this case, Eric, you and I have to be the warriors of the rainbow.
Well, what better place to start than Seattle? Lots of rainbows happening here.
Oh, Green Patriots is David.
Let's be Green Patriots. Let's be Warriors of the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Let's make the changes.
Yep. Sounds good to me. And you can reach me at conversationslive.net. If you have feedback on today's show, please call me 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. 495-7617. And tomorrow, we're actually migrating our site over to a new site. So our site actually may be down for a day. I don't think
the
it
website.
Will be. The website. My
moving
website.
To a new server is what you're saying?
No, we're actually having a brand new website.
Oh, fantastic. Is it going to have the same domain
name? It has the same domain name, conversationslive.net, and we'll be updating that or migrating it over tomorrow. So I'm trusting everything will go well there, because it's in very, very capable hands, and I'll tell you more about that next week. But meanwhile, I really appreciate you being with us today, and thank you for joining us. Please stay tuned to find out what's coming up next week, and hopefully we'll see you next Monday at noon for more Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
And check out that new website, conversationslive.net.
You got it.
On the next Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, the author of The A to Z Guide to Raising Happy, Competent Kids. You've seen her on Oprah, 48 Hours, and The Today Show. Now, hear Vicki St. Clair talk to Dr. Jen Berman. That's next week, starting at noon, here on Alternative Talk 1150. Monday, November 5th, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Views